For much of the 20th century, Christmas was heralded by the department store window displays. Crowds would gather to compile fantastic wish lists. The windows gave glimpses not just of the wares available, but of the world and all its most precious promises. This is, in part, the story of one of those stores that, for many in Siouxland, inspired passers-by with the theater of the window display. Department stores connected the first popular consumer class with the goods being churned out by the industrial economy. Patrons found the latest fashions, furnishings, and contrivances. The shopping experience was designed. Unlike traditional markets, the prices were fixed, the mood was controlled, the goods were suggestions of a lifestyle that was advertised in national magazines such as Ladies' Home Journal, McCall's, and Good Housekeeping. Unlike the box stores of today, the space was maximized for experience. There were
places for children and lounges for ladies and grills for men, an auditorium for presentations, about 150,000 square feet of merchandise and cafe, beauty salon, and hospital and doctor's office. And if you think of the grandest shopping mall you might visit now, it was that in one building run by one company and a whole lot more posh than what you can imagine.
Todd Behrens, curator for the Sioux City Art Center. We met in the center's gallery, now housing The Legacy of T.S. Martin, an exhibition of paintings presented as though they were in the windows of Sioux City's most luxe department store, T.S. Martin Company. Windows that the store used to create fantasy and allure. For their opening event in 1919,
they brought in a special window display, a window dresser, who had at one point worked for Wanamaker's and Selfridge. At that time was essentially running a window dressing school out of Kansas City. And there were 30,000 people who came in one evening, the first evening that the new T.S. Martin Company was open. 30,000 people came in 3 hours. At that time, the population was roughly 70,000.
Margaret Ann Everest, the granddaughter of T.S., used the fortune of the T.S. Martin Company to build up Sioux City, supporting the Symphony, Public Radio, and the Sioux City Arts Center, amongst many other organizations. A few of the paintings that she and her family have donated to the center are the focus of the exhibition, The Legacy of T.S. Martin. Each is displayed within a setting, and each setting was designed by a local business.
This is a painting by Andrew Langusis.
It's an interior setting, windows open to the viewer's left and right, giving them a view of an Italian city under a blue Mediterranean sky. At center is an armoire, its mirrored door reflecting the black and white tiled floor and a bed, inside of which are two figures plucked from an Italian Renaissance fresco. Studio 427 designed the setting.
And so what you see in their beautiful display with drapes, wallpaper, rug, all kinds of furniture, is this cream and black tones used throughout. And they took little bits of other colors that they found in it, and they created a little floral display which emulates some of the deeper reds that you see in it. Window design, when it really reached its zenith, it wasn't so much about showing what we have. It was, let us show you what we can do for you.
The second display was airy, gold fabric coiled around a mannequin and onto the floor, flattening out, then gathering its excess on a roller. A bejeweled gown with a diaphanous skirt was tossed upon a chair as if its wearer had simply slipped out and fallen into bed as the sun was coming up. Around a work that is minimal.
It's a pastel drawing, and it's pretty simple in a way. It only shows a long white evening glove, a little bit of ribbon, and a glass mug of sorts.
Sixth South Designs created a display evoking a life of excess. Here, it's remarkable that the display contextualizes the object of focus.
These were over-the-top, opulent, crazy, extravagant displays, you know, during the 20s, especially with, you know, the rise of Art Deco and the Egyptian fad that occurred, and you'd see window displays that were suddenly these very stylish women are, you know, inhabiting pyramids and things, you know, there's a Sphinx. It was just crazy, but anything that would let particularly women know that the latest stuff is inside.
Marlene Mueller's painting Studio Secrets explores the source of creativity. It's a pointillist piece, colorful, busy. The illusion of depth is a bit startling. A keyhole saw hangs in the middle. its pointed blade plunging far into the painting's depth. M Plus Architects constructed an industrial window case around the painting.
What they've created is a little mock architectural workspace with a work table, a stool, light, and drawing equipment, things that they might need. And they've even set it up with some crumpled up bits, the struggles of going through designs to find just the right thing. So they've tried to create a sense of workplace as a direct link back to Marlene Mueller's painting.
Window number 4's centerpiece is frightening. A hellish landscape, reds, browns, a scrub desert beneath threatening sky. It's a place you don't want to be, a future you fear. But the lighting, designed by Miller Brothers, is very nice. Two lamps are on each side. A fifth leaps out in an arc to the center. The effect is that the glow of the painting's horizon is lighting the room.
For years, department store windows were these beautiful showcases because they just bought totally in on the whole electric light bulb thing. That and plate glass windows, boom, you had great display possibilities. It took museums a lot longer to understand how important artificial lighting can be to bringing the most out of artworks. And so even until the 20s, there were still kind of infighting between people in the museum world who were saying, the department stores are where the interesting displays are. We might want to follow their lead.
Fake candles give ambient lighting to the fifth display, done by Space Interior Design. The painting is of a hummingbird that is dead or sleeping. A poem below the image is transposed onto a white swath painted upon the gallery wall.
So they've also recreated a setting in which they imagine the poet at work and frustrated, trying to deal with these very intense questions of love and death. But they take an ambiguous artwork and they expand on that. And we couldn't ask anything more of that.
The last display was constructed by Mod House Interiors.
They picked out a work that is a favorite of all of the school children that come here. It's by Christo and his wife Jean-Claude. And it's simply a wrapped armchair. And that's what it's called, and that's what it is. It's a very narrow, three-dimensional sculpture of a chair that has been wrapped in paper with twine.
The work is hung on a wall papered with black and white houndstooth. A red armchair rests on a black platform. Near it are a crumpled white sheet and a coiled rope. Above the chair is a pitch black chandelier covered by an equally black umbrella.
And one of Christo's most notorious artworks, he was famous for wrapping buildings and islands and land masses of all kinds. One of his most notorious ones was when he had umbrellas that went in California and then purportedly across the ocean into Japan. And the notorious part of this is that in Japan, one of the giant umbrellas that he had installed on the land came loose from its moorings and ended up killing somebody.
It was a funereal end to an enjoyable walkthrough. Such a conclusion may be fitting, as the exhibition is a sort of memorial to a bygone time. But one walks out of it into the luminous, glass-encased T.S. Martin atrium, the ultimate window display, one where the fantasies that art can stir unfurl. Join us tomorrow morning to hear stories from a few people who worked and shopped at T.S. Martin Company. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Mark Munger.